How are you guys doing? How are you doing? Great. I'm doing great. Thank you. How you doing? Right? All right. My name is Jezer Garcia, and if this is the first time you're coming here, we have our senior pastor, John. He is in Florida right now for a conference, so the guy deserves that, doesn't he? He works hard, and he needs some refresh and ideas, so he went to Florida for a conference, and I got the privilege to speak. So if you're coming here for the first time and you don't know me, and okay, give a chance, next week come again. You know, I'm not the guy here who preaches every week, so give the church a chance. But we want you to feel welcome. We're glad you're here. For those who are coming to Hannaford for a while too, we thank you so much for coming. And we're great that you guys are here. So we are in our Proverbs 27 this week. So this is what I'm going to be speaking on in Proverbs 27. And we went through 4 weeks of some words of wisdom from Proverbs. And if you guys been here coming for a while, you notice that we have a little booklet in a welcome center that you can follow the devotion. It's been so great. A lot of people from Hannaford wrote that. So it's awesome. So I've been given the privilege to speak the last of the series, so it's awesome. I'm excited for this. And, you know, and if you're like me, by January, we're in the end of already January, right? So it's really close to the end of the month. And we go through the beginning of the year doing all those big New Year's resolution. Are you like me on that? I just do that, go crazy about it. And then by now, I already forgot everything that I have as a resolution. You know, it's like, oh, I fail on this. I'm really, really bad on my New Year's resolution. And what I try to do now is just pick one thing, because I can multitask with a bunch of stuff in general. So if I can get one thing right, I'll do okay. But anyways, one of the things that I have as a New Year's resolution for me is trying to go to the gym 3 times a week. Okay, so I go, but I probably very different than most of you guys in here, because I'm on a stage in life that if I start sweating, it's time to get out of the gym, right? Some people do the opposite. They go there to sweat. I'm like, yeah, start sweating. I've got to get out of here, go home, take a shower. It's not my thing. And then you have always those guys that drive me nuts, because I feel like they're overachievers and I'm not like them and I want to be like them. And some of you guys probably are that way. You come with the towel, right? It's like, what are you doing and you need a towel, right? Sweating a lot. So they go there, and usually it's like a guy who's super fit, and then you're sitting there and you're doing your little thing. You don't want to get sweaty. You're just doing like your thing for 20 minutes, and then all of a sudden you hear this, right? The guy in the treadmill going 15 on the speed. And he's had a towel in his head, and he's going, I just want to tell this guy, I was like, you're done. I mean, you don't need to come to the gym anymore. You're good, right? You're done. You reach a stage in your life. If you're doing this on a treadmill, and the guy who goes sideways, you know, if you're on that stage in life, you're done. You don't need to come to the gym anymore. You're healthy. You're great. So I do my 20-minute thing, start sweating. I'm getting out of there. But I'm going through the stage in life, and the last time I came here, I kind of talked a little bit about some of the planning, you know, and I'm thinking about New Year's is always when it comes in, I'm always thinking about what's out there for me, what God wants me to do, and I don't want to lose the focus on that. That's why I take it really serious and going one thing, what's the one thing He wants me to do, right? And I've been thinking about my life, you know. Last time I talked to you guys, I was talking about turning 40, right? And then you started to project your life. I have this thing that I project my life every 10 years. So I'm thinking like, well, what's the next thing, God? What do you want from me? And I've been kind of thinking about this quite a bit. And what's the plan? What about my future? What's out there for my kids? What's the one thing? And sometimes, I don't know about you, but I feel like I wish that God would just dish out everything easy for me. That way I don't have to worry about. It's like, okay, here it is. This is what you're going to do. Oh, this is how your kid's going to grow up be. And, you know, I want that, because I do have a lot of anxiety. You know, I mentioned this before. My pretty soon someone's going to give me a card and say, hey, here's a guy for you to see. You talk a lot about your anxieties. But I have in general, I think you start off having kids. I don't know if that's what it is or being old or I don't know. But I started having those insecurities about future. You know, it's one thing me and my wife, but then you have kids that depend on you. And I've been thinking, God, what's out there for me? You know, and what's going to happen to our kids? What, you know, the world is kind of falling apart. What are we going to do? And I have all those worries and insecurities about what's going to happen. And maybe you're here today and you don't have so much anxiety like I do, but maybe you're asking the same questions, you know? Am I on the right track with my life? You know, maybe what's the plan that God has for me right now about my future? You know, I'm about to graduate from high school, or I just graduate from college, or in the middle of college, or trying to figure out life. And what's out there for me? What about you got married and you want to have kids? Is God have plans to give you kids? Or are you? What's going to happen when you have kids? You know, what about my health? Some of us are going through that right now, and what's going to happen? You know, how am I going to do financially, right? Am I going to be able to provide? My family's going to be okay. You know, the government shutdown thing, you know, what's going to happen to those people? I wonder what they think about it, right? So, I don't know, maybe you're thinking the same things. Those are the questions for us that we, once in a while, we start to think about it. But I kind of, you know, we have this thing at home where once in a while I go out with my kids. So I have five kids. So by the time I spend time with the first one, the last one is feel neglected for life. And then I have to go spend time with the last one. And this is kind of, we try to get together most, we can spend time with the kids. But sometimes you want to have a one-on-one. I don't do that very well, but I try to. So another day, you know, I got one of my girls that I feel like she was kind of needy in a way, and I was like, hey, you know, maybe we should go out for breakfast or something. So I go out for breakfast, and I sit down there, and she is having this huge pancake, and you know, she's eating there. We were just having a conversation, and then I started looking at her. I was like, so, what are you going to do in college? What are you going to do when you grow up? You know, what's going to happen? What are you going to do? She's nine. Right, you nuts, right? I don't know what I was thinking, but he started asking those questions. It's like, you know, and I think it's, I have to be better at that. I was like, okay, just enjoy your time with your daughter, man. Just don't have to be asking questions like that. But, and I think I create all those anxieties too because I have five kids, you know, and I'm trying to figure out what's going to happen to them. You know, I love the fact that God gave me this privilege. I always want to be a daddy of girls. You know, it's like awesome, you know, the little princess thing, you know. You know, so excited for that. And so God gave me three. The first three were girls, right? So excited. I love them dearly. But now I start thinking about, I have to pay for three weddings. Right? And I'm like, oh, I don't know. By the time my youngest daughter, maybe we have to figure out something for her and maybe she pay her own wedding. I don't know. But, you know, can you guys relate to some of those things? And if you're here today, maybe you're a Christian, you're a Christ follower. Maybe you're not even a Christ follower and you're trying to figure that out in your own. Maybe you don't even know why you're here. You just came, someone invite you. But I want level with us and the same that we all, even though if you're not Christian, if you're a Christian, if you're in a different stage in your life, we all, in the same way, we struggle with some of the anxieties of what the future might bring. And that's one of the things I want to talk to you. And I want to ask this question for us to start thinking about, what's the big plan? What's the big plan? What's out there for you? What God wants from you? What is the thing that He wants? What do you want? And there is this passage that I want to share with you, which is the key passage for this morning. It's in Proverbs 27, verse 1. And we're going to explore different other verses too. But here's what it says. Before we do that, let's have a word of prayer, right? Let's do that. Father, we thank you so much for being so good to us, and I pray in the name of Jesus that you give us clarity to understand your word and apply. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so it says in Proverbs 27, verse 1, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. So if you're here this morning, either having tomorrow or any future day, no man or woman has the assurance other than the present day. No man, no woman had any assurance about what tomorrow will bring. Now, that doesn't mean that it is wrong to be prepared, okay? But it means do not rely on a comfort of the future. That we can be prepared but not thinking about that whatever I do, it's super important more than rely on God. We can explore this a little bit more, this idea, and we would like you to open in the book of James, chapter 4. I love the book of James in that because if you like to read the Bible and you read James, James is very clear and straightforward. So for a guy like me who is a new pastor in a way, it's straightforward, right? There's not a lot of explanation to do. And James was very practical in that. And I want to read with you guys, and if you have your Bible, you're going to notice that the title of that passage is Boasting About Tomorrow. So it's the key of the same idea of the Proverbs 27 that we just read. So now I would like to explore a little bit that passage, okay? So the verse 13 says, Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go do this or that city, spend a year there, carry on a business, and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. And I want to focus right now on the verse 13 that says, now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we'll go to this or that city, spend a year there and carry on a business and make money. So James is talking about money and especially selfish plans. The love of money, this deep desire to become rich or even live a life that's very comfortable. Now, if God is blessing you with money, praise God. But don't put your trust in that. Things can change. And a lot of us spend a great part of our life on earth trying to be rich. You know, I find interesting that is the huge temptation for me as someone who came from a different country. Okay? So I've been in Brazil for probably, it was 27 years, you know, that I've been in Brazil. And you notice that a lot of people that come down there, you know, all those Christians, they say, oh man, people, the Christians in here, they're so excited about God. Why? Because that's all they have. So, and I always feel I have this critical thing inside of me about that. Oh, people who are rich, they're this or that, you know. And then since I moved to U.S. and I started feeling how life is more comfortable, and I have the same temptations too, oh, I can do it. It's kind of the arrogance that you can live life without God. And I have that as well. Even worse than most people, since I experienced the other side. But we should not put our trust and money in our comfort. Or, you know, spend part of our lives being selfish about our time. Or even thinking that you're in great shape financially and you don't need God, right? Emotionally, You're doing so well, and I don't need God in my life. That's arrogance. Huge mistake. And we suffer with that. It's the I can do it behavior. I don't need God. I can do it. See, I have a lot of plans with my life, but in many situations, you know, all my plans had not much to do with my family, honestly. And my wife is a good barometer on that. She's trying to helped me to figure out, you know, when I start off, like, it's funny because when I was just talking to someone in the first service, when you have your first child, it changed. Some of you guys probably went through this. Maybe it's just me, but me and my wife did a lot of things together. We travel a lot, you know, and then you have a first child, it totally changed her completely. I have still like my 6-7 different hobbies, and then we play soccer 3 times a week, and it's like, woo, you know, party. So I had my second child, and then we had to have this conversation. She's like, I need an extra pair of hands. So we got to start at you kind of pitching in more, man. So I had to do that. So you kind of, and now, you know, life is a little more established. We have 5 kids. The huge transition for us was the second child, you know, and I had to help her more. And then we start having more kids. We can kind of get a groove, and the oldest ones can help the other ones. And then I was slowly started going back to my hobbies again and just kind of spending time in the garage. And my wife was like, "Wait, what's going on, man? You got to spend some time with the kids." So I'm kind of changing, and she's helping me to realize those things, and sometimes I do that, I don't even realize that I've been selfish with my time. Here's what it says in the verse 14. Why you do not even know what will happen tomorrow? What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Now, some of you guys that are in the valley can experience that. Some people on the East Helena has some of that. But I grew up in Brazil, it's kind of like that too. So I live in the valley in Helena, and in Brazil I live also in the valley. So I experienced that twice. So sometimes in the morning, you know, you're just like, the fog is just really low, and you're driving your car, you can only see about like 5 feet from your car, and you're driving, and it's nasty and depressing. I don't know, I feel that way when I'm driving, the gloomy and So you're driving. And then I come from my house by Sierra Road. By the time I get to Macy's, it's like sunny and blue sky. I'm like, whoo, this is great. I mean, it takes about a minute of driving for the weather to completely change, for that mist or that fog just to vanish. And James is describing our life as that, a mist, very short, and then it's gone. And then it's gone. We can make all the plans that we want. We can plan our day, the next week, next 3 or 4 years. Like me, you project your life next 10 years. But you need to be very careful, because essentially, you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. You really don't. You really don't. Having 5 kids, you have to live a life with a lot of routine. Maybe if you have less, I don't know that because I don't have less, so I know that 5 kids, you have to have a lot of routine in your life, right? So there's a lot of trials and different things. For me and my wife, we had to talk a lot to figure out the best way to deal with routine in our family. So we figure out this, you know, she would just come, and I mean, she'd wake up a little earlier, and then she'll go take a shower. But before she go take a shower, she wakes me up. She would wake me up and say, "Hey, you know, it's time to get up." And then what she would do, she would go take a shower while I go downstairs and feed the kids, give them breakfast. And then my wife can come and teach school. Then I go get ready, right? That's tradition. That's what we do. That's the plan, the big plan, right? So if this is confession time, she's here. I'm probably going to be killed after this. But I have this thing that I do that she comes, she's like, "Hey, wake up." By the way, that was the number one thing that my wife said, my mom told as an advice to my wife. She said, for the life of me, he cannot wake up in the morning. I was like, "Thanks, Mom. You know, you realize we're not married yet. She can say no, you know." But anyways, but it's true. I'm getting better at that. But she would... "Hey, honey, wake up. And I go like, "All right, I'm awake. I'm still laying down in bed." But we have this shower that is great, great. Because when she wakes me up, she goes to the shower, I got to make sure And by the time she finished the shower, I gotta be downstairs. So I have some minutes to lay down in bed. And usually the shower takes about 10 minutes. And we have this great pipe on our shower that's like a trunk of an elephant sound. So when she turns the shower, it sounds like this. So I have that for 10 minutes. While that noise is still going, I can still take a nap. You know? And then all of a sudden it does this thing. The water goes back to the pipe, and then I'm like, whoop. Right? I gotta go downstairs, and I'm chasing down. And then what happened, by then all the kids are awake. Even the older ones took the younger one from the crib, and they're all doing this fighting like crazy downstairs. So I go there in my jammies, and they feel like there's no parents in the house. They're just fighting, and they're just being kids. So I come in all mad, like, yeah, these kids, rah, you know. And then we have this thing that we call the piranha time, because piranha time, if you are a parent, is when you're trying to feed. It's always happened during lunchtime. They're all playing, they're having fun. Lunchtime, dinner time, breakfast time. It's like, oh, breakfast, let's eat our parents. So you're walking around with your toast. You know, you have five kids, and you have one toast in your hand because that's how you do it, one at a time. So, and you go in, and you kind of feel like spinning around the room, and then all this piranha is trying to grab and, you know. And then that's our routine. My fault, should wake up a little early. But that's basically, we have this routine going on, and then one day, I kind of throw a fit, okay? It's like, you have no, you start arguing with my wife in the morning, and usually, you know, I come from a family very expressive and very loud, and I have, my family's not that much, but I am kind of that way, and then I just argue my point, which is pointless anyways, because it makes absolutely no sense, right? You gotta help out. And then we have this argument, and so at that point, I need to go to work, and she was gonna go to visit a friend, and we're fighting. Usually, we come with a resolution in about 3 or 4 hours of fighting, but that day we did not have time, so we were kind of talking. And we did this thing. I was like, hey, you know, I'm tired of doing this. And we just, blah, blah, blah. You know, I was being selfish with that. And then I said, okay, I love you. See you later, right? And then I take off from my house, and I drive about a minute and a half-ish to the gym. So I would stop on Wednesday night. That's what I used to do. I stop at the gym and work out for half an hour, right, before I get sweating. And then I go in there, and then I go to work. So I say, see you later, I love you, okay, I'm tired today, I gotta go. So I take off, get in the gym, and I put in my headphones, right, ready to do the treadmill thing. So I'm on my treadmill for literally a minute, all of a sudden, the phone ring, right, on the headbuds, on the earbuds. Tring, tring, and I'm like, probably my wife trying to say something, and so I press the button, do this thing, right? That's what you're doing, try to move, because you can't press the button. So I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, hey, this is the fire department. I'm a volunteer firefighter, and we're here with your wife and kids. Your kids are totally fine. Don't freak out. But your wife hit a tree, and she's pinned on the car. We don't know what's going to happen. Come safe, okay? But the kids are okay. Right. I have shorts in, and I just like, oh, my goodness, right? I just saw them 2 minutes ago. So I go inside gym, grab my jacket, forget a bunch of stuff in there, take off, get in a car, and I go there in a scene that I would hope I would never experience in my life. Because that day, I could lost my kids, and I could lost my wife. And here's what happened. The next 6 months of our lives was completely chaos in a way, but also rewarding, because we saw God needed to do that, allow that to happen to change our lives for good. And guess what? I have to help every morning for breakfast by myself because she couldn't do it. So we don't know what's going to happen. You can plan your life. You can plan all you want. But in a second, in the blink of an eye, your life totally can change. We don't know about tomorrow. Any future, anything that you have has to be given to God. Because what's your life? As says in the verse 14, what's your life? What's our life? Life is very short. Life is very short. It's like a mist. We think we can plan all we want, but we really can't. I mean, you can plan, but you'll be disappointed. But then how we should live our life? And I love this part of the passage that gives us a glimpse how we should live our life. It's James chapter 15, verse 4. Chapter 4, verse 15 says, instead you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we'll live and do this or that. So technically, James is saying, live every day, every second of your life, right now, as a gift from God. Every day, every second of your life, as if it was the last time on earth, right now, is a gift from God. But it has to be in agreement with His will. You can't just do whatever you want. Men who say, I don't need God, and Scripture says, when man says, I don't need God, he's being a fool. Man is not able to do what he plans unless God wills it. We must acknowledge God in all our ways. And the big question is, what does God want from you today? Right now. Not yesterday because it's gone. Not about the future because you have no power about tomorrow. Right now. What God wants from you right now. And the way we build, off, we build our future is what we do right now, not what we're going to do next day. And that's kind of what I've been learning the last couple weeks or even few days. Because knowing that life is so short that we have to do something right now, what are we going to do? How are we going to do? And I can give you some ideas. Perhaps for some of you guys, you have to make a decision right now to spend more time with your kids. And perhaps for some of you guys, you have to quit all the addiction in your life that's destroying your marriage and destroying your family. Or will destroy your family and will destroy your marriage. Or you'll destroy even if you're not married. Perhaps for some of you guys, it's prioritizing your time with your wife or your husband because you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Perhaps we should talk to our neighbor or someone in our family that doesn't know God, that by talking to them about God, you imply their eternity in heaven. And I think about that quite a bit because we have this precious gift from God, which is our future and our salvation. And I spend a lot of time in the fall, driving with people around the state when I ref college soccer, people who don't know Christ. And I'm thinking about, that might be the last time I see them. I don't know. And I cannot bear the guilt and the regret of not sharing Christ with them because it has to do with their eternity. You know, life is so short on earth. We're so concerned about, you know, compared to eternity, we don't even have a glimpse of how eternity, how big it is, right? But eternity is something so big and vast. And compare, it's just our life is like this little thing. And then we have this eternity that goes forever and ever. And we have this little time on earth. And we spend so much time thinking about things that wouldn't matter. But we have to be thinking of things that has impact, that echoes in eternity. Whatever it is that you have, it is has to happen right now. You have to make that decision now, whatever that is. And I had this revelation in a way, you know, how I was living my life and how I was prioritizing my life this week. So Monday, when I'm getting ready to come up here, I drive everybody around me crazy. Like, ask my wife. Because I'm very focused. Remember, I'm talking to you. I like to plan, and I'm thinking about, like, okay, what I'm going to speak. So I'm sitting there in my house on Monday night, and then my boy, he likes to play with this dinosaur outfit. And he has, like, this dinosaur outfit that has a hood, that the hood is the head of the dinosaur. Right? You can only see this, his face. So he puts on, and he likes to play with me like he's a Godzilla or something, and I go ninja with him, right? So he comes in like, you know, and all he can see is like this, and then he comes in and he says, "Dad, who are you today?" You know, and then I say, like, "I'm a ninja," you know. And then he goes, "So who are you today?" It's like, "Oh, honey, I just can't." And I do that quite a bit. It's like, "I can't play right now. You know, I have this plan that I have to do. You know, I have some stuff. I'm going to speak in the church." And this kid is 4. He's just like, right? "What are you talking about? I have to..." And I'm talking as if I'm talking to an adult. And then he's just looking at me. And then all of a sudden, he takes the head of the dinosaur off, and he puts back, and he says, he has like almost like crying. He goes, "But Dad, I thought we were friends." Right? And he's not the type of kid that manipulates, you know, and he's just like, it just broke my heart. He's like, "But I thought we were friends," you know. And I'm like, "Oh." And then they came to me, what I was doing. It was like, "Okay, ouch, that hurts. But I know I'm going to regret this moment, right? If I don't choose right now to prioritize my time with my kids." You know, my kids is the biggest responsibility and the best responsibility he's ever given to me. It's the most important thing in life. And God gave him this privilege, one shot to be a parent. And I have to do this right. And I want to change that in my life. I'm not doing such a great job on that, and I want to do it. I want to prioritize more of their time. You know, I used to say to people, it's so easy when we do sacrifice for our kids, but in times like that, we neglect. You know, I used to say to people, and I still do, if there is a fire here in the church, I used to say to people, if there is a fire in here, if there is a fire, I don't know, I'm going for my kids, okay? I'll come back for you later if you need my help. Gone. I'm going through that door. I'll leave you guys alone. Gone. And then I'll come back. But now I have 5 kids, so forget about it. I'm not going to come back. I'm gone, right? I got to get all 5 of them and just go and get out of here, right? But then you say things like that, but then in times when you need to spend time, you don't. But there's a lot of things. Maybe you don't have kids, but there's other things that are going on. People around you that are depending on you that doesn't know Christ. Or someone that maybe restoring relationships with your pastor. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. And some of us, we are even stuck in the past, right? In a way. We kind of feel like, okay, you come here and then you say, "You know what? Well, you don't know what I have done. I can't do those things. You don't know what I have done." Start looking back, because that's what people do a lot. Let's look on the back to figure out why you're crazy the way you are. You know, people would say that to me. "You that way because your past, and let's figure out your past. We'll go back, and when you're a teenager, maybe when it happened that when you're a teenager, and then when you were a little kid, and your parents neglect you, and then they did this, and then you're in the womb, and you did stuff in the womb." And you're like, "What?" I mean, some of that work, but we have to make a decision right now. You know, I talked to, if you haven't heard the story of Pastor Josh here, you know, about his growing up. He tells me things that happened to him. It breaks my heart. But here he is, like, worship pastor. And we have so many other stories like that, that your past could dictate your future. But you decided right now, or at one point in your life, I'm enough with this. I'm going to make a decision right now to change my life and give everything to God. A lot of more of the present is what more of the future, it has to do more what you do right now. We need to choose right now. Because in life, you're going to have reward or regret. And whatever you do here, as I said before, it's going to echo in eternity. What are you going to do with the little time that you have on earth? And maybe you're here today and you talk about, I talk a little bit about your past. Maybe you are ashamed of your past. Maybe there's something that happened yesterday or even before you came up here in the church. And you feel like, I'm not worthy of this. But don't let your past dictate your present or future. Right now, God is offering you forgiveness. Right now, you can accept this forgiveness and your past will be forgiven. Right now, God is ready to change your life completely, not tomorrow. Tomorrow too, but you have to make the decision today because you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And I realized this recent, you know, I'm not creating a lot of memories with my kids. You know, I just feel like I'm not going to fly my airplane because airplane can crash. Let's take a vacation here at home. We're just going to do stuff around the house and we go, bah, bah, bah. Yeah, doing that with my kids. Not creating memories because I'm afraid of what's going to happen tomorrow. That's crazy. Love your friends and family. Love them like crazy. Create memories with them. Share Christ for those who don't know Christ. Forget your past. It's about now. Life is very short. And guess what? God is giving you one chance in this life to make a difference. Can you choose today, whatever that is, right here, right now, to surrender completely to God, whatever that is. Whatever it is that's keeping you to have a perfect and a great relationship with Christ. Our life goes so quick. Let's make a decision right now to follow Christ. Not to be a fan of Christ. Come here, cheer for Him, but live a life as a follower. Do the things that reflect Christ. Don't waste your time. Surrender everything to Him. Let's pray. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus. We surrender completely to You. You know, we're a sinner. We're sinners, and we don't deserve to be here on earth, but because Your mercy, You allow us to be here. You allow us in one shot, one opportunity to live life on earth. And I pray that You allow us to make a decision right now to make a difference in this world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.